Welcome to FemLong. This is the second episode in our International Women's Day project. I'm your host, Katie Davey, and today we're joined by Heather McLean to talk to us about Women for Atlantic. If you're just tuning in, this week we plan to release an episode every single day to highlight great people and organizations doing work that support the theme of International Women's Day this year, hashtag Innovate for Change. Feel free to check out our other episodes and stay tuned the rest of the week to see what we've got in store.
Heather, thank you so much for joining FemLong today.
So glad to be here.
I just asked you to start if you wouldn't mind introducing yourself and also introducing Women for Atlantic.
Sure. So my name is Heather McLean. I'm located in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and I've been involved in a lot of different volunteer capacities, as well as I've worked in private sector and public sector. And one of the key areas of volunteering that's been pretty passionate to myself and for other people is Women for Atlantic. And it's a not-for-profit group that we started, and it's really about the power of women working together and promoting women. And we believe that by focusing on women working together and sharing information and mentoring and promoting each other, it's an important message, not only for women today, but women coming up in the ranks, and really debunking the myth that women can't work together, and also that there's only one seat at the table for women. We really want to change that at the executive leadership's table. We want that conversation for people to realize that there really is more than one seat, and we don't have to compete for that seat. We can help each other get that seat and other seats and work together to succeed. We've been around for a little while, a couple years. We were in the early stages. We were working on our governance structure, getting board packages ready, fundraising, getting members to be a part of it, as well as launching a scholarship initiative as well. And that just closed, and we're reviewing the scholarship applications right now. So we're really quite excited about that we're able to be able to provide third or fourth year students, female students that have a leadership interest with a scholarship. So we're really, really quite excited about that.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's great. I'm excited to see how that unfolds and see who the lucky winner is.
Yeah.
So this conversation stems from International Women's Day. And this year, the theme is Think Equal, Build Smart, Innovate for Change. I'd love to just chat with you about what that means for you and what that kind of means for Women for Atlantic and how this theme can really help provide that space for the conversation around equality.
Yeah, I guess it goes back to what I said earlier, and it's really about changing the conversation so that we are working together to bring women along and to bring young women along as well. For far too long, there's been a perception, or it's been positioned that, you know, often at a board level or an executive level, there's one female there. It's kind of like you're a token female. And we don't have to think that way. There's no reason why it can't be two women, five women, you know, 50, 60, 70% women, 100% women. And it's not to say at the same time that we're trying to say that men don't have a place at the table. That's not at all what we're saying. It's about, you know, thinking big. It's about that equality. It's about being on par. And women bring a different perspective to the conversation, to the table. And the more diverse an organization is, the science is there that shows that better decisions are made and companies are more profitable. And it's really fascinating to me that we're still having this conversation in 2019. A few months ago, I wrote a blog post on LinkedIn summarizing some activity of a women in cybersecurity event that I was participating in. And it was about understanding why more women and girls are not going into cybersecurity. And, you know, it was simple things like the language we use for recruitment. It's slightly, women react to language differently than what men do. So there's different words that are more positive for us and more positive for men. And, you know, it was about the deliberate focus on including more. And I got attacked on LinkedIn by someone who said it was the most sexist and discriminatory post he's ever read. And I'm thinking, how is inclusion and changing the language something that's discriminatory? But it was just a case in point where even having a conversation about it was something for him that was not palatable. So really, all we want to do is, it's about inclusion. It's about supporting each other and helping women rise together.
I like that you mention about having that dialogue, because I think what we do find, and again, that's a concrete example there, is sometimes having these conversations are a bit difficult, and, you know, for a variety of reasons, whether folks, you know, get defensive, or perhaps folks come to the conversation a bit more aggressive than they should. I know I'm definitely a culprit of that sometimes. So I'd like your insight on, I guess, how we can have, like, I guess, this meaningful dialogue, even though sometimes it is a bit difficult.
Well, I think we just have to continue and not be sidetracked by people who may be detractors, or even, you know, in some cases, trolls that want to incite a different kind of conversation. So I think it's about being very deliberate. It's about being calm. It's about being methodical and thoughtful, and really just continuing with the conversation and having the results that go with it. It's great to have the conversation, but we have to have the concrete actions as well. So as we see more women get experience and exposure to C-level opportunities, and those women know that there's more than one seat at the table, then by the sheer action of supporting other women and helping them rise, it kind of quells some of those other comments and shows that the room at the table is growing and the conversation will continue, but it's a good conversation and more people will be supporting it.
I feel like my listeners are going to be like, Katie, stop bringing this up, but I brought it up in a couple of episodes, but it still baffled me. So in California, the state legislature recently passed a law that said all publicly traded companies must have, and this is the shocker here, at least one woman on their board by the end of 2019. And I bring it up because it kind of blows me away that we still live in a world where that has to be legislated. And it's the first state to do anything like that. We don't have anything like that in Canada, but it just, yeah, it really shocked me. And that's why I keep bringing it up. We're going to do a full episode on this one piece of legislation in the future. But so it's very interesting that, you know, again, we still haven't been able to move past that dialogue yet. Like
Well, the fact that we're still talking about pay equity as well is something that is staggering to me. The fact that we still have to demonstrate and discuss that women's work, whether, you know, like the work that women do, not women's work, but the work that women do, and it's the same as their male counterpart, is still valued less. So between that conversation and having to legislate, having women on boards, is really disconcerting to me that we're still having that conversation so many years later. You know, we take for granted that we can vote now, but, you know, oftentimes when I've written about International Women's Day, I say it really isn't that distant history that women became persons under the law in Canada and could own property and could vote. But we're still having some conversations that we shouldn't be having at this point in time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's bang on. And I think that, you know, the needle is moving, but so slick, just so slow, so slow. So I'm excited again that, like, I really personally love the theme of International Women's Day this year. I think it's, you know, I think it's pertinent. I think it's a conversation that we should be having. But I guess kind of, yeah, one last question on International Women's Day I would have for you is, it's great that we have this platform and that folks really engage and have this conversation on, you know, one day a year, but how do we keep that momentum up? Like, how do we continue to build on those conversations and that dialogue?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I know that they talk about the theme being something that you can carry on throughout the year, and you absolutely can. But I think it's like what we're doing at this very moment. Your podcast is something that helps keep the conversation going. Women for Atlantic helps keep the conversation going. We have a student chapter at the University of New Brunswick with students from St. Thomas as well. I think that the more we talk, the more we collaborate, the more that we have platforms and channels to discuss this, it raises awareness much more. And I think that the solidarity and coming together like this and talking about these issues and moving the agenda forward together will push the needle quicker than if we are certainly divided.
Yeah, that couldn't agree more. That's, I think, a really great thing for us and for folks like Femlock Women for Atlantic and others to, I think, yeah, kind of make that the goal of continuing to have the conversations and pushing for that further dialogue.
Absolutely. I think the more that we talk, the more that we collaborate, it just makes us stronger and it makes our voice stronger. And with any cause that we've ever seen successful in the past, it's about that coming together, that unified approach and having a unified voice. And, you know, there's more than the population is, you know, more than 50% women at this point. So I think we have a powerful voice. We just have to make sure that we have a unified voice and work together collaboratively as much as we can.
Absolutely. So you mentioned the scholarship program that Women for Atlantic are providing this year. Are there any other key highlights or things that you folks are doing this year that you're excited about and want to highlight?
For us right now, that's the big one, and also building out our board. It's been a big, long building process. We wanted to make sure that we got our governance structure correct, but really excited about the scholarship and when we're able to announce that. That's a big piece for us, actually. And also with our youth chapter as well, that's a pretty exciting thing to be able to have young women at the universities working together and thinking about this leadership approach and how we move together.
Amazing. Well, again, thanks so much for joining. I'm really excited about how this project will turn out, and I look forward to supporting Women for Atlantic and their initiatives moving forward.
Perfect. And thank you so much for having me. And on behalf of Women for Atlantic, we really appreciate this time.
Thank you so much for tuning in. If you want to follow up on the International Women's Day Project or on any other episodes of FemLunk, you can find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at FemLunk. And you can listen to our episodes wherever you subscribe to your podcast.